Hear the word of God. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this special day when our congregation becomes a full voting member congregation of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, it seems good to me both to look back and to look forward a little bit. Looking back, we can see even more clearly now the factors that necessitated our move. Without belaboring the point, we were united in our determination to find a home more in keeping with our high view of the authority of Scripture. And we could not say that we had a sense of unity of the body. What is unity in the body of the church? The only true unity in the body comes as we recognize, confess, and practice the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because no one can say that Jesus is Lord without the Spirit working within them, we can say that the beginning of the unity in the church is a gift from God through the working of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts paints a favorite picture of what that unity looked like in the first century. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. We have at other times talked in some detail about this picture. But this morning I want us to look a little bit differently at a different picture that comes to us from the Psalms. Whereas Acts has the report focus on some of the details of what the United Church did and was doing, Psalm 133 tells us something about the result of this unity. The psalm is one of the ascension psalms, the songs of ascent that the pilgrims would sing when they went up to the Temple Mountain, up to the, where the temple was, to celebrate one of the great festival days. And we think this is probably from the Festival of the Booths. These were joyous times of festive celebration for the Jews. They would gather together in larger family groups to travel together to Jerusalem. This song says how good and pleasant this unity is. It's like the precious oil that was used to anoint the heads of favored guests. This oil is seen as being so abundant that where unity is experienced, it is poured out without restraint and without concern, to the extent that it runs down over the head and over the beard and over the robe, all the way to the ground. In a similar fashion, the unity is said to be like the dew that is on Mount Hermon, a substantial dew that was the equivalent of rain in its moisture, the cool, moist air from the Mediterranean being forced up the mountainside and leaving its dew, laying its dew down, and it resulted in a lush green growth there on the mountain as compared to the vegetation or lack of vegetation with the surrounding desert. Where this unity is, there the Lord has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. This blessing of life forevermore comes to those who live in unity. There the Lord has commanded the blessing. But where is the there? Where is it that the unity of brothers is so evident as to call forth God's blessing? You know, over the past year, we went through a major decision-making process here at First Presbyterian Church. We asked the question whether we could find some sense of unity within the PCUSA. We were trying to find that blessing that would help us as we sought to do ministry here in this place. We asked questions about where the PCUSA was headed and where they were already. And on a number of important questions, theological and practical, we found ourselves at odds with the denomination And so we ask the question, is there something better? Is there somewhere we can feel a greater sense of unity, of kinship? With all of its talk about the peace and unity and purity of the church and about the essential tenets of the Reformed tradition, couldn't we find a better place still than the Peace USA, which even refused to define any of these essential tenets? As we cast about, we found that there were not a lot of choices for a number of reasons, but we did decide that there was one option above others, and that is the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And frankly, I don't know how much oil we have seen or how much dew has fallen on us, but we do now have unity on the essentials of the faith. The eight essentials of the EPC give us a place to stand where we will not stumble. And let me summarize these statements, which establish the following essentials. By the way, the EPC folks here usually talk about the seven essentials because they're numbered 1 through 7. But I contend that the first essential is the one that's not numbered, but says that Scripture is the... Well, here's what it says. It says, all Scripture is self-attesting, and being truth requires our unreserved submission in all areas of life. The infallible Word of God, the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, is a complete and unified witness to God's redemptive acts, culminating in the incarnation of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit, is the supreme and final authority on all matters on which it speaks. On this sure foundation, we affirm these additional essentials of our faith. Here we get to 1 through 7, and again, I've kind of condensed these a bit. One, we believe in one God, the sovereign creator and sustainer of all things, infinitely perfect and eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To him be all honor, glory, and praise forevermore. Jesus Christ, the living Word, became flesh. He who is true God became true man. He died on the cross, a sacrifice for our sins. On the third day, he rose bodily from the dead and ascended into heaven. Third, the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ and apply the saving work of Christ to our hearts. He convicts us and draws us and indwells our hearts. He gives new life to us, empowers us, imparts gifts to us, gifts for service. Being estranged from God and condemned by our sinfulness, our salvation is wholly dependent upon the work of God's free grace. God credits his righteousness to those who put their faith in Christ alone for their salvation. I'm not hearing anything yet that gives me any reason for pause. The true church is composed of all persons who, through saving faith in Jesus Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, are united together in the body of Christ. The church finds her visible, yet imperfect, expression in local congregations where the Word of God is preached in its purity and the sacraments are administered in their integrity, where scriptural discipline is practiced. Jesus Christ will come again to the earth personally, visibly, and bodily to judge the living and the dead. And finally, the Lord Jesus Christ commands all believers to proclaim the gospel throughout the world and to make disciples of all nations. Obedience to the Great Commission requires total commitment to him who loved us and gave himself for us. These are the essentials. With these as our essential tenets, we have ground to stand upon. We can truly be united in our walk of faith, knowing what it is that we do believe. The motto of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church is, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we take this next step in the journey of faith, this great adventure, let us truly live in unity in the essentials. Let us enjoy our liberty in non-essentials. And let us practice charity in all things, so that the First Presbyterian Church in Casper, Wyoming, might be a place where the Lord has commanded the blessing. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.